Now, at various times historically, persons in Iberia had been able to trade north-south across North Africa on the great overland trade routes with sub-Saharan Africa. But owing to the fact that Berber tribesmen had largely cut off these routes in the late Middle Ages, the Portuguese in particular were given an incentive to look for a way to go by sea around the African continent to get to the Niger River basin. Now, already in the 14th century, there had been some sailors sort of going up and down the west coast of Africa and exploring the islands that lay offshore, the Azores and the Canaries, for example. So the Portuguese had been kind of traveling up and down the west coast of Africa, and in the early 15th century, Ceuta on the Moroccan coast was captured. This then provided the Portuguese with a secure base well to the south of Portugal, which could be used for further exploration well to the south along the African coast. The Portuguese crown then began to colonize the islands, these islands that the Portuguese had been exploring for some time. The introduction of sugar as a crop into Madeira in the 1440s led to the introduction of slavery, an introduction with long and devastating consequences in the Western tradition. By the mid-15th century, the Portuguese had pretty well secured their control of the West African coastal regions. Now the crown began to dream of reaching Asia by going east. In 1487, Bartolomeo Diaz, was born about 1450, died in 1500, pushed farther along the western coast, and he used his knowledge of prevailing winds to catch favorable breezes and round the Cape of Africa. The point is quite simply, the African continent is very large. And as these explorers kept going further and further and further and further south along the African continent, they began, we must suppose, to wonder, is this thing ever going to end? Finally, Bartolomeo Diaz sailed around the southern tip of Africa, and it was discovered that, yes, there is finally an end to this vast continent. Now, in a voyage that lasted from 1497 to 1499, Vasco da Gama, born about 1460, died in 1524, sailed to Calicut in India. So he followed in the wake of Diaz, rounded the tip of Africa, sailed into the Indian Ocean. He left with four ships and about 170 men. A couple of years later, he came back with only a fraction of his seamen and only one of his ships. But he came back with a cargo of spices worth about 50 or 60 times the cost of the entire venture. Subsequently, Alfonso de Albuquerque, who was born in 1453, died in 1515, began arming his ships and capturing bases in the Indian Ocean region. He developed the Portuguese strategy of a series of armed trading posts. There's kind of an irony here. Where did he get the idea of forging cannons to put on his ships, and who had made those cannons before? When he first sailed into the Indian Ocean basin with cannons on his ships, this was a military technology that no one had seen before that time, at least certainly not on that scale, not in such a serious way. And who had made those cannons? People who formerly forged church bells? Well, we have here two great iron instruments that make very different sounds with very different consequences. Now, not very many Portuguese ever actually settled in the Indian Ocean region. So they weren't resented too much, they weren't a constant presence, and many local rulers were actually quite eager to trade with the Portuguese and to promote trade with the Portuguese, so the Portuguese had a pretty good system going. A series of armed trading ports around the Indian Ocean basin, but not a constant, continuous, we might say, imperial presence. The Portuguese government built, gradually, really quite sophisticated institutions to manage and control trade with the Indies, as they were called. That is to say, the lands lying around India. Now, meanwhile back in Iberia, the Spanish, of course, had many of the same incentives as the Portuguese. But for decades, they were distracted from overseas ventures by the completion of the Reconquista. We might also say by the fact that Aragon and Castile were only united with the marriage of Ferdinand and Isabella, and that there were a variety of other domestic problems inside the Spanish realms that prevented them from devoting a lot of energy, a lot of attention, a lot of money to overseas ventures.